Well, I am again thankful the Lord has permitted us to be together. Thankful for His Word, and ask for your prayers that the Lord would bless it by His Spirit unto us today. I'd like to think about gift. Just concluded the Christmas season. Those who, as many times as the tradition, exchange gifts at Christmas time, given to friends or to family members. You know, before the Christmas time is one of the busiest retail times of the year. I know commerce is changing some, as Brother Greg could attest to, more online shopping, etc. But after the holiday, lines are longer at the return counter. People have received gifts and maybe exchange their pleasantries and perhaps their thank yous, and whether it's not the right size or it's not the right style or not really what I wanted, people may be inclined to return the gift that they've received. Question that I'd like to put before us for each of our consideration, as really each of us only can consider for ourselves: what have we done, what are we doing with the gift? I'd like to begin in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Again, I need the Lord's blessing and help this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The last verse says quite simply, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Yes. You ever have someone that knew just the thing to get you? They put thought into it. They know you well enough to know maybe what you need and what you like and what would be well suited for you. And we appreciate those things. Of course, trust, it's never about materialistic things. This isn't. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift that goes beyond words, it goes beyond comprehension. There is a gift that the Lord has given unto mankind and unto each one of us. And I want to think about what it says in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, as we consider this morning the gift. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 7, "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There is a gift that is not wages. It's not payment of something that is due or that's rendered unto us for services that are given or we are owed from the Lord. There is an unspeakable gift that the Lord has given unto us. And I want to think of a few different elements or a few different aspects of this gift. Thank the Lord, of course, for the gift of His Son, Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that He gave this gift unto mankind and unto us who are so undeserving. And the Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Not of ourselves, not of anything that we can produce or bring and show that we've earned. But it is the gift of God. And I want to think about it, not as much the giving of the gift, but the receiving of it. I've noticed that sometimes the more people have, the less appreciative they may be of the things that they have. For example, a child who's raised in abundance and, say, wealth. A child who's brought up receiving just about everything they've ever asked for or wanted is likely to have less appreciation for something that they receive. And it's easy for that to work with us as well if we're not careful. We call that taking something for granted. Now, I was raised, if you were raised differently than this, I'm not here to fault your upbringing. But I was raised that you're supposed to earn what you get. Of course, our needs were met by our parents, but when it came up time where we're starting to think about driving and think about a car, my mom and dad didn't take us down to the car lot and say, take your pick, it's yours. That's not what happened. I had to think about it, and I had to plan, and I had to go get a job, and I had to start making provisions for. And you know something that it did for me? I had an appreciation for what I had, and a realization that I had to care for it. What about us with our gift? The gift that the Lord has given us. You know, we are in a time of plenty. Physically or temporally, a time of plenty. You know, we also live in a time and a land of spiritual abundance. Now, I know that there's spiritual poverty all around us, but it's available to us. We live in a time that's, I'd say, nearly unprecedented in the availability of the Word of God and of spiritual resources and the ability, if we can't make it to service sometime, there are options that I can go on and I can hear a message. I can join a live stream. And I'm not advocating that as a regular substitution. But there is so available, so ready at our fingertips, spiritual food. You know what can happen whenever we have plenty? Is we can begin to get a little picky. Say, well, we're just going to have to go out and eat. There's not a thing to eat here in the house. And in reality, I can go and open the fridge and I can't hardly fit another thing in there. Or open the pantry and things are just about to fall off the shelf. Not a thing to eat in the house. Well, nothing that just quite suits my fancy at the moment. You understand how we can get a little picky in natural or temporal things. But I want us to consider more so in spiritual things. How do we receive the gift? Do we receive it and kind of look over it and, not quite the color that I wanted? Not exactly what I had in mind here. Oh Lord, help us to realize the unspeakable quality of this gift that He's given. I'd like to look at Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in the 14th verse, says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." It wasn't a one-size-fits-all. An equal distribution, we can look at this and say, well, that doesn't seem fair. But the master, according to what he knew of every one of their individual abilities, what was best suited for them, he committed that unto them. And he gave something unto each of them. The Lord today has given something unto each of us. We gave unto them according to their several ability, and he took his journey as if he moved out of the scene or out of the picture. And now it's up to them. What are you going to do with the gift that's given to you? What are you going to do with the master's goods that he's given into your hands? It doesn't detail here explicit instructions that were given to them. But they as servants knew something of being stewards of their master's goods. And each one of them handled it a little differently. He that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Are these words that we want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The reckoning time has come. The gift-giving time was back there. But now it's time to reckon what you've done with the gift. You're going to come and you're going to give an account. As the scripture says, every one of us are going to give an account of ourselves, of the deeds that we've done in the body, whether they're good or whether they be evil. Accounting time is coming. Reckoning time. The time when the master comes and returns, and none of us are going to be exempt. Something has been committed unto every one of us. And every one of us are going to give an account of that which has been committed unto us. Time and opportunity has been given to every one of us. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. You know that His grace is a gift. And His grace has appeared unto all men. And it teaches us something. What have we done with the gift that's been given unto us? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And He said, I've made you faithful over a few things. Now I can make you ruler over many things. You know, before the Lord can commit to our trust the many, we've got to be able to be faithful with the few. Before the Lord can trust me with something great, He's got to be able to trust me with something small. What have I done with the small? Despise not the day of small things. In our lives, no matter how small the opportunity we've been given, it might seem to us, no matter how small my gifts or my talents, we can look and Paul to the Corinthians, he warned them about this. Looking around at other people and saying that I am not what they are. I don't have what they have. This man with 1 talent perhaps did some of that. All I have is 1 talent. If I had 5 like him, look what I could go buy with it, or look what I could do with 5 or 10. 1 talent? What can you do with 1? The Lord expected of him a faithfulness with what God had given to him. The Lord expects faithfulness of us. What we have been given, what's been delivered to Him. The same was said to the man with 2 talents. But when he came to the man with 1 talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawn. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. It's still there. But with the gift came a responsibility. With the gift came an obligation to do something with the gift that didn't involve going and burying it and hiding it in the earth. What does it mean for us to hide the gift in the earth? You know, if we're not very careful, if we're not very intentional and diligent in our stewardship, it'll be easy for us to take what we have and not do anything with it. To take what God has given me, the opportunities, the dealings that God has sent my way, the word that He sent to challenge and to probe and to pry and to dig about me. If I'm not careful, I can let those things just kind of fall by the wayside. The talents and the gifts that the Lord has given each one of us that are unique to you just as your fingerprint. It is the Lord that places the members in the body as it pleases Him. Just as the Master gave to each one severally, not just willy-nilly or by the roll of a dice. But He knew each one and He knew what they were capable of, and He committed to them something that He knew they were fully capable of producing something more. The Lord has given each one of us a gift, talents, abilities. And with that gift comes a responsibility, comes an obligation, comes a day of reckoning. What am I doing with the gift? Have I taken the gift and over it overlaid the cares of life? My interests, my ambitions, my goals, the things that I enjoy doing, I can lay over it shovelfuls of hobbies and the things that I can look at and say there's nothing wrong with that. But if I'm not careful, shovelful by shovelful, I put the things of this earth. And in other words, the things that are going to pass away in the end. The things that are not going to endure. For this world and all that is in this world is going to be dissolved in a moment. And while we have responsibilities to the things of this world, we have first and foremost a responsibility to our soul. Lord, help us not to bury the things of spiritual worth beneath the things of temporal value. He buried it, thinking perhaps all the while it's still there. I know where to go get it. I know where it is. I still have it. But it wasn't enough to just still have it, to still know where to go and pull it out if I get in a pinch and I need it. The Lord expected of him, go and, what did he say? Occupy until I come. Go and make use of what I've given you for the good of my things, of my kingdom. Occupy. Busy yourself with more than just the cares of life. Busy yourself with more than your occupation. And I say even more than our family. That gets close. Because we have a responsibility unto our families. But first of all, I've got a responsibility to my own soul. I believe that the order of operations, as I understand it, goes this way. My soul, my family, and others. And I need to get it in that order, but I need not forsake any one of those. What am I doing with the gift? Oh, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It is of grace and not of works. Anything that we have is not of our own, of our own works or our own doings, but is to be given to the glory of God alone. The children of Israel, whenever there was a need, people, maybe we'll read it here in a moment, their hearts stirred up within them to contribute and to give of their means and of their talents and of their abilities for the building of the tabernacle and subsequently of the temple. They gave of themselves whatever they had. There were some that had material possessions. There were some that had materials needed in the construction. There were some that had skills of trade, and they came and they gave what they had unto the Lord. Their heart stirred them up within them. I want to give myself to this. I want to give what I have. I can't build the tabernacle by myself. I don't have within myself to be able to do it all. It looks like a daunting task. The Lord doesn't expect it all of me, but He does expect of me what He's given into my hands. And whenever they were, believe this was in the instance of the temple, they were consecrating it to the Lord, and He said, Lord, all we have given of that which You have given to us, it's not our own. I've turned back and we've given it unto You again. It was a gift that the Lord had given in the first place. What am I doing with my gift the Lord has given unto me? This gift of grace. You know, grace enables us to do what we can't do. That's what grace is. It is a divine enabling influence and power of God working in our lives. And He says unto us, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is available for you. What am I doing though with His grace? Am I availing myself of the grace of God? I think Paul warned in one place that you not receive the grace of God in vain. Let it work for you. Put it to use in your life. The grace of God is able to help us, to keep us, to enable us to do His will in our lives, no matter what the circumstances are. He makes it available to us. It is a gift unto us. My child, I've got for you a package of grace that is sufficient unto your day and your circumstances and your needs. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. The question isn't the availability of the gift. The question is what I do with it. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. The 28th verse. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. This can be said of those that turn their back on God, those that turn from Him and pursue headlong into the ways of the world. But this also speaks to me of a process. To do despite unto. It is like Esau and his birthright. Esau despised his birthright. It's not that he looked at it and said, I hate what my father has blessed me with. But he counted it as something of little value in his life. So little of value, he substituted it for something of temporal worth that was gone in just moments. And it's what people so often do with things that the Lord has endowed them with, has presented and given to them. They begin to count it as something of little value, begin to take it for granted, begin to count it, as says here, as an unholy thing or just a commonplace thing, and fail to esteem it as something of great worth and of great value that I've got a great responsibility with. If there's something that I have that is precious, extremely valuable, I'm probably not just going to put it out on the coffee table for children or whatever to play with. It's not common. This isn't a common household thing here. This is precious, it's valuable, and I want to keep it with a safekeeping, and I want to use it in its proper use. Lord, help us not to get into a place that we begin to get lukewarm. We begin to lose our zeal for the things of God. We begin to lose the fervor of our love for God. Our love beginning to wax cold. As that happens, we'll begin to find the things of God lose their value to me. They begin to become more and more commonplace. More and more optional in my life. You can take it or leave it. There's some value to it. There's some worth to the things of God. Do I esteem it as something that is the most valuable, precious thing in my life? The things of God. The grace of God. It says of them that do despite unto the Spirit of grace. What do I do with the dealings of the Holy Spirit in my life? Do I esteem as precious and valuable those pricks and those checks and those dealings in my life? Or do I just kind of toss it aside as something commonplace and ordinary? The Word of God is a precious gift. Been hearing some audio books of those from persecuted areas of the world where to own one of these means your life. And yet there is such a longing for it. One brother said he prayed and he fasted, I don't remember, it was months, I believe, for a Bible. It was illegal. But he prayed and he sought and he fasted. And Lord, I know that you can provide one. I know that you can give me a Bible. And God gave him a dream and of a man coming with a Bible, and he woke up, I think it was maybe the next morning, a man, the one he saw in his dream, came to the door and he said, I've got something for you. I've got some bread for you. And it was the bread of life, and what rejoicing he felt when he had his own Bible and he cherished it and he treasured it and he said that he read it for hours on end. And he not only read it, but he committed it to memory. He'd go over it and he'd recite it in his mind. I'm not trying to put us under bondage that we've got to spend X number of hours a day, but I want to stir us up a little bit this morning. I want to challenge us today. How valuable do we esteem the things of God? Do I count it as ordinary, commonplace? Oh Lord, help me to esteem it a little more like that man did. The time came whenever he was apprehended for his faith. And he wasn't able to have the Bible with him, but he had committed it into his mind. And he'd recite and he'd pull those up and he'd find strength from it. And that which he had committed to his memory, he'd write on little scraps of tissue paper. Conceal it and he'd give it to some of the prisoners and share with them the love of God. And just one little excerpt of scripture was more valuable to them than a bar of gold. They cherished it and they held on to it and they read it and they reread it. Lord, help us. What am I doing with the gift? The gift that I have of spiritual prosperity that's available to me. What am I doing with it? This is the time to do something with it before the evil day comes. Before the time comes when maybe I don't have the Word of God ripped away from me. Some of the opportunities that I enjoy today that I may not enjoy in the future. Lord, help me now to do something with this gift. To not just let it sit in the ground. To not just let my Bible collect dust on a shelf. The opportunities that I have. Oh, they'd meet in secret in house churches. Folks, I don't really care where we meet. If we meet in a barn, if we meet in your house or my house, or if we meet in this chapel, but let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much more as we see the day appearing. In other words, the closer we see the end of time, the more perils that we see around us spiritually, it ought to cause this gift to be more and more precious and valuable. I don't want to count it as a light thing. I don't want to count it as commonplace, as that I don't put it on the optional shelf in my life. There are some things that we may need to take off of the optional shelf. And maybe take some things that I've counted as mandatory. I gotta have. I can't do without. And put that on the optional shelf. And say, Lord, the things of God are gonna come first. Oh, it's easy for me to say, of course I put the Lord first in my life. It's all I've ever known. Of course I serve the Lord with all my heart. But I've been having to search myself and say, Lord, am I really? Lord, am I really putting you first? Do I really put more passion and zeal in this than I do anything else in my life? Do I really have more fervor for the things of God than anything else in this world? Do I really find more pleasure in the things of God than I do anything else on social media or my phone or the entertainment venues of this world? Do I truly? It's not something I can answer for you, but for myself. Lord, help me. What am I doing with this gift that you've given me? Have I gotten to where I don't even count it as a gift anymore? But I take it for granted and commonplace. Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews 2 and 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The enemy is going about seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, and if it were possible, deceive the very elect. It's not a question of whether he can deceive, for he has deceived by the millions. The question is, will I allow my heart to be deceived? Therefore, realizing the danger and the perils of the times, I'm going to tell you, I've been hearing of some of these perils in other nations. There's perils, there's dangers that we know nothing of today to serve the Lord. To make the decision, I want to be baptized and I want to follow the Lord. We think of those times perhaps as way back in the pages of the history book. They're not. It's still today in parts of the world. But of all that peril, I'll say I don't know if their peril is as great as ours. I think spiritually we face one of the greatest perils in our time, in our world. It is the peril of becoming spiritually lulled to sleep. It is the peril of becoming so comfortable and complacent. The perils of having so much around me and available. I know where to go for it. I know where I could go and hear the truth. I know that I become complacent with it. That I don't cherish it like I should. That I become spiritually stagnated and asleep. That is the peril of our day. Perhaps one of the greatest of them, at least. Lord, help me in the peril of this time. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. More earnest than I did yesterday. More earnest than I did even the day that I was saved and I had such a zeal and a fervor to serve God. More earnest heed even today to the things that I've heard, that I not allow them to slip from my grasp. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward. How shall I escape if I neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Lord, how will I escape if I neglect? Think about the word neglect. It's not to take and beat to pieces. It's not to take and with disgust throw away from me. But it has the same effect. By neglect, I can allow to slip from my fingers the things that once I cherished and loved and counted of such great value. And how will I escape? To him that is given much shall much be required. You answer for yourself. How much have you been given? How much have I been given? I'm going to have to answer for it. I'm going to have to give an account for what I'm doing with the gift that God has made available unto me. What am I doing with the moments I have now? That's why I believe we were exhorted, redeeming the time, making the most use of the time that we have. Folks, it's flying by from us. I tell you, the months are turning into years. The years are turning into decades. So quickly it's slipping from our fingers. Lord, help me to feel the urgency of redeeming the time. It's so easy to look and say, down the road will be a more convenient time. To sell out for God. To give my all to God and to follow Him with all my heart. Let's redeem the time. In other words, to make the very most of however many moments I have left between now and then. It's not for me to go and try to manufacture something big and what can I do. It is for me to say, Lord, with fervor and diligence of heart, I'm going to do the very most with what You've given me to do. With the little bit that You've given me. I've got one talent, Lord. And I'm going to put my heart into that talent. I'm going to put my all into that. Lord, You've given me just this little bit, this opportunity, this time that I have. I think I already mentioned I appreciate so much you all being here. We've got an hour and a half or 2 hours out of our week here this morning. Lord, help us to make the most of what I have. Every one of us have an equal number of hours in our week. What am I filling it with? What am I doing with the gift of the time that God has given me? The opportunities that He's brought my way. Lord, help us to give the more earnest heed. I'd like to look now at Ephesians, the 4th chapter. We'll circle back a little bit to some comments I made a few moments ago. Ephesians 4. The 7th verse. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Oh, folks, the first starting point in our life, by the grace of God, you better take captivity captive. By the grace of God, I better be willing to leave behind the things of this world, to be set free from the bondage of sin, and to be set free from the attachment to the things of this world and the sins thereof. Leading captivity captive, He gave gifts unto men. He didn't leave us empty-handed. He didn't leave us unequipped. But He came to do a work for us, to make us His children. He came to set us free, and He came to give gifts. Again, everyone to every man severally according to his own ability. The Lord came to give gifts unto men. It says, and He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He came and he gave gifts unto you and me. Your gift may be different than my gift, but he came to give gifts unto every one of us for the work of the body, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are not to live unto ourselves. I'm not to live from day to day. What is it that I feel like doing? What is it that I want to do? What is it that satisfies or pleases or blesses me? I believe one of our presidents once said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. It's not just about, well, am I going to come to service so that I can get something? Yes, I want to get something, but Lord, how can I come and benefit the body? How can I come and contribute my gift? How can I come and add my part to edify the body of Christ? It's not just about these walls, I'll tell you, but the body of Christ. Lord, how can I edify somebody today? How can I minister to someone? Lord, what gift do you have for me? I believe the scripture says, covet earnestly the best gifts. It's not to say, I want a better gift than what you have. Lord, I want the best gift for me. I want the very best. Lord, I don't want mediocre. Lord, I don't want something that's just getting by. Lord, I don't want to put in the bare minimum. Lord, I want to give the best. I want to be able to make the best impact on souls and people that are around me. And I can make the most impact by filling exactly the place that God has for me to fill. What are you doing with the call? I believe everyone that the Lord saves, He wants to bring on into perfection. And I believe every person that's willing to consecrate themselves to God and say, I am yours, He wants to give a gift and He wants to put a calling upon you and me. What am I doing with the call? You letting it roll through the voicemail? You have your phone on silent today? Or am I waiting for the call? Do I have myself in a place, a vessel, meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work? Lord, I want to be a vessel unto honor. It starts there. Lord, I want to have the victory in my life. I want to live a victorious life. And I want to present myself as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Lord, use me, take me. Willingness is a part of it. It's a big part of it. But willingness is not all of it. There must first come a willingness. Folks, it's the Lord that places the members in the body. When I'm in a place that I need to be, when I love the Lord, when I'm living a clean life, when my heart is pure, it doesn't mean that there's not a place where I'm still growing in the Lord, because I am. But when I come, Lord, with sincerity and trueness of heart, I present my body a living sacrifice to you. It comes with faithfulness. Yes. With dependability. The Lord is going to have to be able to know that He can count on me. Not just every once in a while. The Lord's going to have to be able to know that He can count on me every day. To be able to live a consistent, steadfast life. I want to ask you, if you were a hiring manager, what would you think of an employee who said, thank you for the job, I'll see if I can make it in tomorrow. And in the coming days and weeks, sometimes you'd see him. Sometimes not. Always with an excuse. Always with a reason. I'm sorry, this came up, that came up, I wasn't able to make it, I couldn't be there, I'm sorry. You think at some point you'd say, do you want the job or do you not? If you want the job, you're going to have to want it. You're going to have to be willing to put that above some other things. I had to have a conversation like that with an employee recently who was caught repeatedly sleeping on the job. And she had an answer for it every time. Defended it, actually. Say, I'm tired. I'm sleepy. I got a lot going on outside of here. Work night shifts. It's hard being on night shift. And I just can't hardly stay awake. And I spoke her name and said, listen, you're going to have to make a decision. If this job is valuable to you, you're going to have to examine some things outside of work and say, you know what? I might have to rearrange my schedule a little bit. I might have to get to bed earlier. I might have to change some. I might have to cut some things out because I want to be able to be here and be present and be productive. When it comes to the kingdom of God, I don't want the master to look on me and say, where's Clint? Oh, I guess he's not showing up today. And I don't want the people of God to have to feel that way about me. There are some fundamentals. It's got to start with loving the Lord with all my heart. I got to start building on some things. I got to be dependable. I got to have my heart in this thing. And as the Lord develops those gifts and gives me calls and gifts of places that I can minister to and help and bless other people, it will not come at the expense of the Word of God. It will not come at the expense of sound biblical doctrine. I need to be rooted and grounded in it. I think about what was said to the Hebrews. He said, when the time came that you need to be teachers, you ought to be teachers now. You're still in a place that you need to be taught. You're still in a place that you need to be coaxed and pulled along and spoon-fed. When you're the one now that needs to be doing the feeding. He said, a strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use, you exercise it. I make use of the little and I exercise that and I exercise faithfully in everything that the Lord has given me to do. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, as we close. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Oh, what zeal. St. Timothy, and to those who are reading this, do you remember the zeal that you had? Do you remember the fire that burned inside that said, Lord, I'll go with you all the way. Lord, wherever, whatever you want me to do, stir that up. Folks, every one of us are going to have to stir up this gift. If we allow it to just sit, it's going to stagnate. It's going to become unusable, undesirable. If we want our gift, whatever your gift might be, if we want it to be useful and a blessing to those that are around, I'm going to have to stir that thing up. I can't expect to just let it lie dormant and to be a blessing. He said, be instant in season, out of season. Be ready. You can only do that as you've stirred this gift up. You stir the gift up by using it, by making yourself available and accessible and being present in people's lives. Stir up this gift that's in you. If we don't stir some things up, they're going to start settling in and settling down to the bottom. You ever try to open a can of paint that hadn't been used in a year? Dip your paintbrush in that and try to paint. You got to stir it up first. And before I can say, yes, Lord, the willingness is there. Lord, I want to be a blessing to people. I want to, yes, sign me up. But I'm going to have to stir myself up. I'm going to have to stir some things up so that I can be useful for the Lord. Stir up the gift. That word means to rekindle. Where maybe the flames have started to kind of die down. Where I start to just get into a motion or a form. Lord, stir me up. Lord, rekindle me. Where once I had a burning testimony and now, well, I hope somebody's got a testimony. It's not just because I'm saying it. I believe it's scriptural. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the teacher, for the deacon. Every one of us, stir up the gift that is within you. Lord, help me to have a fire burning inside of me that I might be able to come and be a blessing. Folks, I'll say from my testimony, my prayer request, I want to be an asset to the body of Christ. I don't want to be a liability. I want to be a blessing. I want to be an asset. I want to be a benefit. Oh, may the Lord help us each one that we be challenged. I don't want any of us to feel condemned, accused, beat down, but challenged to say, Lord, stir me up. Lord, what is there down in here that started to kind of stagnate? Lord, stir it up that you might be able to use it. What are we doing with the gift? You pray for me. Amen.